Are you facing a hard trial in your life right now? Maybe that question just kind of sends your mind swirling. Oh, do I have something to tell you? How much time do you have? But right now, are you facing something that is just very difficult? Maybe it's something that has just recently started in your life. Maybe it's something that's been there for a long time. Maybe it's something that's been there your entire life. Maybe even something that you were born with or something that you've dealt with even from a child. Maybe what you're going through right now, you potentially foresee it lasting for the rest of your life. Are you in one of those long trials? There are many people that face severe chronic pain in their lives every single day, physical pain. There are many people that face emotional pain. They've been through something. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one in a very tragic, unexpected way. Maybe it's the loss of a friendship, someone, or maybe a close family member, that there's a broken relationship. Maybe you've got children that are wayward in life, and maybe they've been like that for a while, and it's such a burden on your life. Maybe you're facing a financial crisis that's just been long and difficult. Maybe you have unfulfilled expectations or goals and dreams in your life. You know, there are a lot of people that are single that would love to be married, but God hasn't brought that to this point in their lives. There are a lot of married couples that would love to have children, that would love to have even one child. They've been praying for it for a long time, and it's discouraging. There are many people that they're just facing long and seemingly unending and insurmountable difficulties and obstacles. And maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're in the middle of something. And if you're not, we know that life is filled. It's often said, this is our encouraging thought for the evening, that you're either in the middle of a trial or you're about to be. And that's just, we don't want to joke about that, but that's just par for the course in life, that there are many hard and long, difficult trials. And if that's you tonight, Jesus has a message for you, and that's this, and this is going to be the title of our message: Don't Faint. And I want to look at a passage in Luke chapter 18, if you'd like to take your Bibles there. Luke chapter 18, I want to read a parable that Jesus gives. Luke introduces the parable by explaining why Jesus gives the parable. So Luke 18, I want to start reading in verse 1. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Jesus knew that he was surrounded by people that were about to faint. And we're going to talk about what that word means biblically here in just a minute. But he knew that there were people that were weary, that were going through hard troubles. And he said, "I'm going to give them a parable that will point them in this direction, that they should always pray and not faint." In other words, this parable that Jesus gives, it helps us to do one instead of the other, as in these are often our two options when we're facing long, hard, difficult trials. We can either pray or we can faint. And many people are fainting, and many people are fainting because they're not praying. So let's read the parable that Jesus, starting in verse 2, the parable that Jesus gives. It says, "Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary." Now, when you start off that you have a widow, there are just some things that are built in. This is a very loaded word. What's a widow? A widow is someone who had a husband, but now is destitute of that husband. Maybe the love of her life from a childhood sweetheart. And they got married and they lived a long, wonderful life. And she's lost her best friend. She's lost her confidant. She's lost with him, potentially, her livelihood, her welfare. Maybe she doesn't have the means to support herself. Her husband worked, he provided everything, and she's lost her whole world when she lost her husband. This is a woman that she doesn't even need to have any other problems than just that she is a widow, but it seems that she has even more problems. says there was a widow in that city, and she says, avenge me of mine adversary. She has an adversary. It doesn't say exactly what this adversary is, who they are, what they've done to her. Are they provoking her? Are they threatening her? And it says in verse 4 that about this judge, and he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now think about this. This man is a judge, and he says, this widow is troubling me. I have troubles in my life, and my main trouble is this widow with troubles. So I ask you, whose troubles are worse? The widow's or this judge that doesn't care about the widow's troubles? He says, I have a problem, and that's your problems are trying to spill over me, and I don't care about your problems. He's a very unjust, he's a wicked man. And he says, but I'm going to do this to just get her off my back. I'll help her. Verse 6, it says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God, who by the way is the very opposite, who is a very just God, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It's an interesting parable that Jesus gives, and I want to look at several angles on it, primarily from the focus of fainting. Jesus says, I'm giving this parable so that men would always pray and not faint. And first of all, I want to talk about what that word faint means. The Greek is ekkakeo. It's obviously a compound word of ek and kakeo, but it comes from these two words, ek, which often means out of or from, and then kakos, which means bad or evil. Interesting. Just the general word evil. Evil came upon him. It's the word kakos. It means something that's a bad circumstance. And the word faint, the word means to be bad or weak, to fail in heart or to fail physically. And it's translated to faint or to be weary. So it has to do with bad things coming upon you and you're fainting because of them. I want to read what Robertson's word pictures, this man Robertson, kind of a commentary about Greek words. Robertson's word pictures says about to not faint. He says literally it means not to give in to evil, to turn coward, to lose heart, to behave badly. So not to give in to evil that's pressing on you. If you would, picture someone that evil is pressing down on them, very heavy, very weighty, and it would crush them. The evil wants to destroy them. Maybe it's from the devil. Maybe it's something that just God has allowed, but God has allowed these difficult, evil circumstances, these trials, tribulations, temptations, and they're pushing down very hard. And to faint is to succumb to that pressure. Imagine someone, they're trying to hold up that weight. It's trying to crush them. Picture someone is trying to drop a car on you, and you're trying to hold up that car to keep it from smashing you and killing you. And you're holding it, and you're holding it, but eventually you can't hold it any longer, and it crushes you. And that is the picture of fainting, that evil wants to push on you and crush you, and you finally give in to that, and you succumb to that evil. How do you fight against that scenario? How do you fight against evil that's trying to push on you without succumbing to it? Jesus says here, it's by prayer, that men would always pray so that they wouldn't faint, so that they wouldn't give in to the evil. Maybe it's a temptation and they give in and do the wrong thing. Maybe they quit. Maybe they're just, I'm done. I was going to church and reading my Bible and praying, and I'm just done with all that. It's too much. It's too hard. And they faint. Jesus says the way to keep from that happening is by praying. And he says, by praying always. It's to believe that God can handle whatever evil is pressing on me. And God will do it. God will handle it in one of two ways. Maybe this is a little bit oversimplistic, but in general, there are one of two ways, or maybe both ways at the same time, that God will help you. This is a cry to God for help. God, I've got a trial. I've got a trouble. Maybe what you're facing is something that you're supposed to do, but it's very difficult. Maybe it's the care of a loved one, and it's just pressing on you, and it's so hard, and maybe you don't want to be out from under it. You don't want it to go away, but you just need help. You need God to help you, to deliver you from the difficulty that it is. And God will do it in one of two ways. So there's you and there's the evil pushing on you. And one way that God can help you is by lifting the evil, by removing it, by dealing with it, by fighting a battle for you. This woman, she has a battle. She has an enemy. And she wants, her great trial is, I need help with my enemy. Will the judge help me and avenge me of the enemy? And God will sometimes do that. God will sometimes reach in and remove a problem. There's nothing wrong with praying for God to take away a problem. It's not always what God does. Paul had the thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times that God would remove it. And God says, no, I'm going to leave it, but I will give you the grace to handle it. So one way that God will help is that he will deal with what's on top, the evil that's pushing down. But another way that God will help us is that he will come underneath the trial with us. And he will help us by strengthening us so that we are able to bear what we didn't think we could bear or what we could not bear on our own. And so one of two ways that God will help, and the way this happens is by prayer. We pray so that we don't faint. And when we pray, God comes to our aid. God comes and helps us. Sometimes what we need is sheer endurance. We need God just to give us the endurance to stay under it. Sometimes God will remove us from out from under it and deliver us. But sometimes God says, I want you to stay there and handle it. We see this in a verse in Romans 12. In verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. When it says that we are to be patient in tribulation, the Greek word for patient, we've looked at this in the past, it's the word hupomeno. It's a compound word that literally means to remain under. Hupo means under, and minnow means to stay or remain or to dwell or abide. And so to have patience means that you stay under something that's hard. You get the picture of a weightlifter. He's got maybe in the Olympics, he picks up a weight, he lifts it over his head, and he's waiting until the judge says, okay, you've cleared the weight. He can't just pick it up and drop it down. He's got to hold it for a certain amount of time in a certain position until he gets the clearance. And he is hupomenoing that weight. He is remaining under that weight as long as it takes. And how long does it take, by the way? We don't know the answer to that. We don't know how long we have to remain under the weight, but that's what patience is all about. That's why people hate patience. They hate to pray for patience. God, give me patience. Often people say, God, I pray that you'd give me patience and give it to me right now. But that's not the way that patience comes. The endurance, it's often translated steadfast endurance, to remain under that weight. And God will come along us and give us that strength to do that. Sometimes that is what we should pray for. Instead of praying for the problem to go away, we should pray for God to help us. Because by the way, sometimes God takes away the problems, but every problem we have, God at least allowed it. God allowed it on purpose. And he doesn't always just bring it to take it away. Sometimes he brings it to strengthen us, help us to grow in our patience and our endurance. Listen to Nehemiah 6. In verse 9, he's trying to lead the nation of Israel to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, and there was much opposition. in many different ways. People were trying to stop their efforts and fight against them. They literally brought an army to try to fight against them. And here's what Nehemiah prays. Nehemiah 6 verse 9, it says, "For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done." And then he prays this, "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." He doesn't pray, "God, these people are our problems. I pray that you would kill them, take them away, make them just leave." He prays, "God, I recognize that we have an enemy and they may be there for a long time." So he says, "God, strengthen my hands. Give me the strength, your strength, so that I can bear up under this weight so that I don't faint." There were Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and others that were pressing on them, and he could have fainted under that weight, but he prays, "God, give me strength." He's praying and God helps him to keep from fainting. So sometimes God is giving us a trial so that he can come and lift it for us and take it away. Sometimes God gives us a trial so he can come alongside us and hold our hand and bear the weight with us. At the end of the parable, Jesus asks a question. "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" What does Jesus mean by that? Will he find faith on the earth? It says that this woman, she was praying to the judge that he would help her. Why did she pray to the judge? She went to him because she believed that he could help her. He has authority, he has might at his disposal, and she knows that he can help her. She believes he can help her, and so she prays to him. And it says, when Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people praying to him? They're in the middle of a trial. Are they fainting? Are we fainting? Are we quitting? Are we discouraged? Or do we have the faith to pray? Do we have the faith to believe that God can help us? And as such, we can put it this way. Do we have the faith to declare, "I will not faint"? It's 100%. I know that I'm not going to faint. There are a lot of Christians that they think they're going to faint. If you have this faith, you can declare, "I will not faint. I will not be overcome by this evil that's pressing on me. I will overcome it. I will be victorious. I will be successful." And the way I know this is because I know God, and I know that he will help me. I know that he'll come alongside me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He'll hold my hand. I know that I will not faint. That's the faith that is always, he says, will not God avenge his own who cry to him day and night? See, that's who God avenges. He avenges those that have the faith to keep on crying out to him day and night. Not, "Oh, I prayed about that and God didn't do anything. I'm just done with that." No, that's not the way it works. We cry unto him day and night. We keep on. And if we stop, then the evil doesn't stop just because we give up. The evil keeps pressing and we faint, and it can devour us and we can fail. But will Jesus come and find faith? Are we having the faith to pray? Whenever we have the thought, maybe you've been there, maybe you're there right now, whenever you think, "This is just too much for me. Why is God allowing this? I'm not able to bear this. I'm just not cut out for this type of lifestyle. I can't handle it." When we say things like that, we are lacking faith and we are fainting. Pray so that you don't faint. Also notice what Jesus says in this parable. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 again, Luke 18, verse 7. It says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" What does that mean? People have different ideas about it. I think what it means is that God sometimes, he listens to our prayers, but he waits a long time before he gives his answer. I mean, that's what this, the judge was unjust, but God is just. But the parable is that they don't answer right away. And so they have to keep on praying. We have to keep on praying and crying out. And it says sometimes God bears long with us. Why does he do that? He knows it's for our good. He wants to develop patience. We don't develop patience if every time we pray, God, I have a problem, take it away. Okay, there it goes. God, I have a problem, take it away. There it goes. We don't learn patience. We don't learn remaining under the weight. Sometimes God bears long, but just because he bears long doesn't mean he's not answering. Here's the next verse. It can sound like a contradiction, but it's not. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. So God will avenge. The word speedily doesn't mean right away once you pray. It means that when he does, the Greek word for speedily has to do with suddenly, like all of a sudden. He waits and he waits. He bears long and then all of a sudden he can swoop in at the midnight hour. Sometimes when you thought it was too late, there's not enough time for God to deliver. And then all of a sudden God can swoop in and deliver. And when he does that, he teaches us a valuable lesson that you can make it in my strength. I can give you the endurance to make it until I deliver you from the evil, until I take the evil away. God may take the evil away, but it may take a long time. Maybe he does both. He comes alongside us first and he strengthens us to handle it for a long time, and then he delivers. God does both, but sometimes we have to wait. And how long do we have to wait? I don't know. Could be the rest of our lives for some types of problems. There are some situations that are chronic. There are some situations, you know, if you say, God, help me to overcome my flesh. Well, God, he can help us, but we're not going to be done with our flesh till we get to heaven. And so sometimes the problem will be with us for a long time. I want to read some other verses in the New Testament that use this word faint. The Greek word that we looked at for faint is only used six times. There's a different word that's also, we'll get that in a second. There's a different word that's used a little bit, and it's also used six times. But only six times this word faint. I want to read some of the other verses that show us some different angles on not fainting, how we can endure in the Christian life. 2 Corinthians 4:1, Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. There's a three-step plan in there. It starts with the mercy. It says, as we have received mercy, that's our salvation. God has given us, and by the way, God has given us so much more mercy than just a salvation. But the greatest mercy we've ever received is being delivered from hell. God has given us salvation and mercy. And then he gives us a ministry. And what's a ministry? Every believer has a ministry, a service to God, some kind of a job that you can accomplish through the local church and in your family and person to person around you. God has saved us and he's given us a job to do. And because of that, it says, seeing we have a ministry and we have received mercy, we faint not. Sometimes people are thinking, I can't go on anymore. I just need to quit. But whenever you're thinking about quitting and fainting and allowing the evil to crush you, just have this thought. You know what? God has saved me and he's given me a ministry. I have a job to do for God and I can't quit. God has given me this job that he hasn't given to anyone else. And if I drop this ball may drop to the ground. There may be nobody else that accomplishes this particular service to God. I am important. I have a role. I have a dignified purpose in God's kingdom. And that ought to motivate us to go on and not quit. There's someone else depending on you. If you don't go share the gospel, they may not hear it. If you don't live a righteous life, they may not see it. If you don't meet a need, it may not get met. You have a ministry, and allow that to keep you from fainting. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15 and verse 16. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. So there's that ministry again. He says, the things that we do, we can give to people and they can thank God and that can cause many people to draw closer to God. And because of that, because we have that job, we faint not. But though, here verse 16 goes on, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We go on. There's an outward fainting, perishing here, and the word perish there, the Greek has to do with decaying. literally rotting. Though our outward man is decaying and rotting right before our eyes, yet the inward man is renewed, and that is how we don't faint. If you just look in the mirror, if you just take stock and inventory of your physical self, and you say, well, I just don't have the energy that I used to. I don't have the stamina. I don't have this and that. I'm falling apart. I'm getting older. Doesn't matter. The inward man can be renewed day by day through the Spirit of God, through Bible reading and prayer, through spending time in God's house with God's people and fellowship and doing. By the way, going out and squeezing the sponge, doing the work of God is often one of the ways that God recharges us. It sounds counterproductive. It sounds like you're expending yourself. But sometimes when you expend yourself, we are so filled in that moment with the joy of doing God's will. The inward man is renewed day by day, and so we don't have to faint. We need to be busy about the work of God. It will help us not to faint. And when you feel like you're fainting on the outside, draw deep from the well of God's word and God's spirit and be refreshed, be renewed day by day. By the way, it says we have to do it day by day. If you don't do it day by day, you will faint. It's not, well, I mean, I went to church for Christmas. Also Easter. I went to church Christmas and Easter, and so I ought to be good to go. No, we have to be renewed day by day because the problems are pushing on us. The evil is pushing on us day by day. Listen to Galatians 6 and verse 9. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's the word faint, but it throws us for a loop here. That Greek word with the bad pressing down, that's actually the word not be weary in well-doing. That the word faint is different. We'll get to that in just a second. But it says, don't be weary in well-doing. While you're doing well, don't let the evil crush you. Don't be weary in that. Because we will reap in due season if we faint not. The second word, the Greek for faint not, it means to relax. It's an interesting word. It means to let loose of a grip. You have a firm grip on something, and the part of the word, it's a compound word again, and part of the word means to loose, to loosen your grip, to let go, to relax. And picture, if you will, a wrestler. And when I say wrestler, I'm not talking about the hair down halfway down their back, doing backflips off of the top rope. It's all staged and scripted. Not that kind of WWF wrestling. I'm talking about the real wrestling that they do in high school and college. When somebody is wrestling in a wrestling match, it is quite an exertion. And I've never wrestled competitively, except with my wife. But anyway, when someone wrestles competitively, they say that it takes every ounce of your energy. Almost every muscle in your body is tensed. And it has to be when you're, you know, locked in a particular hold and maybe they're about to pin you. It's agonizing and you can't relax for a second. If you relax, even for a second, an experienced wrestler will pin you. The match is done. There's not a second. There's not a moment that you can let loose, that you can relax. And the Bible says that in due season we will reap if we faint not. But sometimes it's just a moment of, we're under the weight, just a moment of relaxing your muscles and the weight comes crashing down and the devil springs and we fail. We fall into a particular temptation. We are discouraged. We quit. Every moment matters, or we can faint. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Again, that's that second word, faint, about to relax. Paul says, I don't want you to relax at my tribulations for you. Keep in mind all that I'm going through for you and the things that you're going through, and keep on pressing, keep on working, keep on running your race. And Hebrews 12, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. It talks about this concept. I want to read a longer passage, verses 1 through 6, that talks about running a race. Paul often uses physical imagery, sports types of imagery, when he illustrates the Christian life. And the writer of Hebrews does the same here. Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." So these witnesses are the saints, the Old Testament saints from Hebrews 11. Their lives of faith and victory testify to us that living by faith works, and you can make it and be successful. So we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. So there's that word of steadfast endurance, remaining under the weight. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do you do it? Looking unto Jesus, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Notice, we can faint in our bodies. Here it says, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. If you faint in your mind, you've already lost the battle. You're already done. Once you give up hope on the inside, then you are defeated. So it says the way to be able to run this race with patience and endurance is to look to Jesus and to consider him. When we look to him, when we consider him, what do we consider? I think we consider both. It mentions both here. We consider him when he was in the throes of death, when he had the evil pushing on him, but he wouldn't let it crush him. He did not faint. He persevered. He had joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Visualize Jesus on the cross, and now visualize Jesus set at the right hand of the throne of God. And what does that speak to us? It speaks to us that if we will endure, if we will not faint in the difficulty, that God will exalt, God will bless, we'll be glorified with Jesus one day. But only if we, Romans 8, 17 and 18 says, that if we suffer with him, we shall be glorified together. I believe that a measure of glory will be determined by how much we suffer without fainting, how much we endure. And so we consider Jesus, we look to him, we consider him, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. The passage goes on and talks about more opportunities for fainting. Listen to verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Jesus resisted unto blood. He shed his blood. We haven't. If you're still alive, you haven't died. So he's saying it's not that hard. You know, we're not trying to minimize your troubles, but it's not as bad as Jesus was. He was put to death in his struggles, and you haven't yet resisted unto blood. Verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Sometimes people faint because of what the devil's doing, the evil. Sometimes people faint because of what God does. Particular sin overcomes them. They yield to sin. And so God brings chastening and they faint at the chastening. They say, oh, this punishment is greater than I can bear. I quit. I'm done. No, hold fast under the chastening. God is proving his love to you. The devil's trying to crush you with his evil, but God is trying to grow us with his chastening. But we can faint at the hand of God. We can faint at the hand of the devil. And so this passage here shows us that the Christian life is very difficult. This is our uplifting thought for the night. The Christian life is very difficult. It's almost impossible, but it's not impossible. It says it is possible. We have the crowd of witnesses, the cloud of witnesses testifying to us that we can make it. If they can make it, we can make it. By the way, the Old Testament saints didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them like we do. God has given us his word with promises. God has given us the Holy Spirit. God has given us examples of past believers. He's given us the example of his own son Jesus, look at that example and follow in those footsteps. He's given us a ministry. He's given us so many things that should motivate us to keep on going and not quit. Don't be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. Don't faint. God will help you. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3. This is how it is possible. This is how the Christian life is possible, because God's power that can deal with all the troubles is inside of us. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." The power of God is in us, and that power can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's why we don't have to faint, because when we pray, God gives us his power. He doesn't just give us power. He doesn't just give us some power. He gives us his power. The power that can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. 1 John 4, 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That's why we can be successful and victorious. We don't have to faint, because God is in us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Romans 8, 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." How is it that we can be victorious as we face all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? We not only can be conquerors, but more than conquerors, because God is in us and his love surrounds us. We can never be separated from that love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And because Jesus loves us, he will never hang us out to dry. He'll never cast us in the gutter to fail. He will always deliver us one way or the other, or both ways. And so through prayer, God has given us the key to be able to open the door to victory in the Christian life here, to God's supernatural power on our behalf to uplift us, to handle any trial, and to lift the trial off of us. God can do things we cannot do, and God can give us the ability to do things that we cannot do on our own. He can encourage us outwardly. He can encourage us inwardly to believe that he is working all things together for good. I want to finish with Isaiah 40 and verses 29 through 31 that explains this truth, that there's nobody that can keep from fainting on his own. This passage says, even the young, strong people are going to grow weary. But God gives supernatural power so that nobody has to faint. Isaiah 40 verse 29 says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Is that you today? Are you those among those that are weary? He giveth power to the faint. Are you the faint? You've been up under a burden. Maybe it's been just a short time, but it's a really heavy burden. Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe you think there's no way out. I encourage you, don't faint. Pray. Cry out to God day and night for help. He will help you. He may not do it immediately, but when he helps you, he will avenge you speedily. He may bear long with you, but he will immediately come alongside of you and encourage you and help you. He will tell you, draw from my word the promises that I give you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And at the right time, in his time, he may lift that burden off of us. He may avenge us by obliterating the problem, taking it away. And I hope that he does that. But however he does it, we never have to faint. It's not more than we can bear with him. It may be more than we can bear without him. It may be longer than we can handle without him, but with him, we can do anything. Jesus gave that parable so that we would always pray and not faint.